MLB Insider, Blue Jays Insider of Sportsnet, joins us now to talk a little baseball. How are you doing this morning, Shai?
I'm all right. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing okay here. Gerrit Cole, it's pretty easy to spin that, isn't it, in New York with the way he showed up today?
I tell you what, he touched on all the perfect notes. He also pointed to Marvin Miller and Kurt Flood and a hat tip to the guys who really fought for the free agent system that as it exists today. And, you know, certainly tugged at the heartstrings for Yankee fans. And, you know, it was it's cleverly done all the way around. So he even came in clean shaven with his haircut, you know, no more scruffy Gerrit Cole. And, you know, he's conforming to the Yankees rules and the look and everything right off the bat. So well done all around.
I would have loved to have seen it if he challenged that. If he's a big enough name, a big enough free agent where he said, yeah, I'll be there, but I'm going to have the beard and see if the Yankees buckled on it.
Yeah, he should have worked it as a clause into his contract. But, you know, I mean, the Yankees basically gave him all the money. So, you know, if you have to shave your beard and cut your hair for that, I think most of us would do it for that type of contract.
Yeah, most of us are on board for that. They don't ask free agents to do that in Toronto. They also don't sign guys like Gerrit Cole these days. You've seen the reaction of the fan base to what is perceived to be an underwhelming offseason. Is the offseason for Toronto as underwhelming in reality as the perception seems to be?
It's an interesting way to look at it. I would say that, one, it's not done, and I think that, you know, to fairly assess things, we have to look at where they are at the beginning of camp as opposed to where they are just this second. But I would say that depends on your goals. If your goal is let's have a reasonable, at least major league caliber starting rotation in 2020, well, the Blue Jays are there, and they didn't have that for the vast majority of 2019, and we remember how bad a movie that was. On the flip side, if you're saying to yourself, well, this team needed to add some pieces to the core that's going to be competitive moving forward, they haven't done that yet. You know, I mean, Tanner Roark will be part of this pitching staff in 2021. Chase Anderson as well. But I don't think anyone's looking at any one of those three arms as a core piece. Are pursuing Hyunjin Ryu. I don't think they're the front runner. They don't seem to think that they're the front runner.
Lost our connection there with Shai Davidi. We'll get back on that topic with him. And really where I'm going with this, and I want to talk to him about next, is what's a realistic step to take? You've all seen this with whatever team you cheer for, whether you happen to be a Blue Jays fan or not. Hockey, football, basketball. Well, basketball is a little different. It's such a star-driven league. But certainly in the other sports, you see the progressive build. And here in 2019, as we roll into 2020, the patience of fans has decreased so much. It really has. A lot of people talk about it, but I'm not sure most fans are willing to live it for a long period of time anyway. Tear it down, strip it down, give us the rebuild. By the way, we don't want the rebuild to take a long time. We want it to be here in a hurry. And as a fan, you do have to ask yourself that question, regardless of sport. What's a reasonable amount of time outside of the NBA? Because in the NBA, with player empowerment, you can change things overnight. Really difficult to do in other sports. Really difficult to do. It takes a little bit of time. Shai Davidi joins us back on the line now. And really where that last question was going, and I'm sure you can anticipate this as well, what is a realistic step for this team to take this season?
Well, I think that would depend on a couple of things. One, you have to remember that with young players, there's always a little bit of volatility in that, you know, Bo Bichette's probably not going to post a 900-plus OPS in his second season. There might be a step back. You know, Kevin Biggio will probably have some ups and downs. You'd expect a bit of a step forward from Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but that's not guaranteed. And so I think that the path forward for some of their young players will go a long way in determining that. The other thing is that, you know, if Nate Pearson and, you know, someone like Patrick Murphy Anthony Kay, you know, some of the young pitchers that have been pushing their way upwards are able to jump into the rotation and deliver a little bit of impact, I think that'll really change the outlook significantly. So for me, I think if you're the Blue Jays, what you want is you want to see a team that's pushing towards 500, and you want to see continued development and integration of your young players. And, you know, that happens, that's a success. And then you really want to springboard off that into a competitive window that opens into 2021.
That to me is completely realistic. And that to me does show a significant step if the Blue Jays are able to do those things that you just outlined. And yet I know where we live in sport culture in North America right now, probably strikes you as well. People either want it all burned to the ground and they're okay with being really bad if that's what they know for a year, but then they want the team that contends for the championship, and they don't seem to want to live in that middle ground. We just don't see that right now in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, well, this is the difficult part. And I think one of the reasons that, you know, the Blue Jays have gotten the flack that they've caught so far this offseason is that, you know, this was, all things considered, a pretty good market for starting pitching and free agency. And it got expensive as a result of that because everybody was buying. You know, and if they'd been able to add, like, a Jake Odorizzi, who they could have had if they were willing to ante up, or if they could have landed a Kyle Gibson or some of the other pitchers that they pursued, or they end up with Hyunjin Ryu, then, you know, all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, you put forward a piece that's going to be here longer term, that's adding to the core. So, you know, you're not leaving all the heavy lifting to next offseason or the offseason after that or the trade deadline. And that didn't quite happen. And so I think that's where some of the frustration lies. And, you know, I think that comes down to, you know, how quickly do you want to push? Do you want to push your chips in now, or do you want to save some chips and push them in a little bit later? And that's really the question the Blue Jays have wrestled with. You know, it's like, do you sit there and right now and, you know, throw $80 million over 4 years at Ryu, or do you maybe hold back and make a run at Paxton or Trevor Bauer next offseason? So I think that's the sort of debate that the Blue Jays have been having internally, that has frustrated the fan base. You know, the last three seasons have not been very fun. This is a fan base that has gone through a lot since the finally breaking through the postseason runs of 15-16. And I totally understand why they're frustrated.
Shai Davidi, Blue Jays and Major League Baseball insider, joining us here on the Scott Rintoul Show. What is a reasonable amount of time for a management team and an organization to rebuild?
It's a good question. And I think what's interesting is that we've seen some teams in more recent years go through these quote-unquote soft rebuilds where they don't totally tear down. And they try to keep some pieces and remain competitive through it. You know, Arizona would be an example of that, that immediately comes to mind. You know, the Twins kind of went through it, although they had a bit of an extended down period. You know, the Texas Rangers are trying to do that, and they've really added aggressively this winter. So, you know, that's one school of thought. And it's like, well, you know, you don't have to bottom out and be completely terrible and unwatchable and lose close to 100 games. On the flip side, you know, if you go the 100-game route, you know, like the Tigers are, the Royals are, you know, you're going to have a lot of pain. It's going to be probably 3 or 4 years. It depends on where your farm system is. And, you know, the Blue Jays had that one season, the 95 losses last year, when they were, you know, exceptionally awful. And they're hoping, because of the way their farm system was set up and by, you know, by having Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette in the system, that they can fast track that. And so, you know, for them, they're hoping that it was just 1 year of really being down at the bottom, and that the rebound begins now, and that they can move forward fairly quickly.
This management regime has always been fighting an uphill battle, perception-wise, because of the guy they replaced and the way they came in to power in Toronto. No organization wants to have slings and arrows from the fan base, but your management regime can live with it if it knows it has the backing of ownership and the power brokers in the organization. Do you get that sense that those who make the really big decisions with the Blue Jays, they are there long haul? They believe in this regime.
I do believe that there is buy-in to the plan, but the clock's also ticking on that. And, you know, the one thing that really stands out to me is that, you know, the attendance, they were leading the American League as recently as 2017 with, you know, 3.3 million fans. And in a very, very short amount of time, that number has been cut down to 1.75 mil, like nearly in half. And that's a startling figure. And that represents or signifies just how deep the fan frustration is. You know, if you think back to some of the other periods in franchise history where they've had buildups and then come downs, the decline has always been more gradual. And this one is very sharp and very abrupt. And so, you know, if there isn't sort of a rebound or an uptick there, both in terms of attendance and in terms of results, if the plan doesn't start bearing some fruit, then, you know, the current front office is going to have to wear that and accept responsibility for it. So it's a really interesting spot that the team's in right now.
Yeah, you make a very good point, because at the end of the day, it is a business and you need to be drawing people out to the ballpark. And we don't have a good grip of the reality of it out here in the West, because the Blue Jays head to Seattle and people from BC and Alberta and Saskatchewan, they all flock there every year because it's their best opportunity to go see the Jays. It's become an annual pilgrimage. Do you have a firm grasp on what will sell in Toronto? Will excitement alone sell? What sells for the Jays this year?
I mean, I think people are going to want to see some wins. You know, it certainly would have been different if, you know, they landed a free agent or two, and a big time free agent or two. And it's still possible that they might, or they could swing a trade and make something happen that way. So, you know, the offseason is by no means over. But we've seen people here respond, as they do in most markets, respond to impact ads. And, you know, it doesn't always work out. You think about the Blue Jays in 2013, when they made the big blockbusters with the Mets and the Marlins. You know, that team didn't get over the hump and wasn't very good. And the spike in attendance plateaued a little bit until 2015, and they finally got over the hump. You know, I think ultimately, you know, you need wins. You know, you do need a bit of star power. You do need some people who get fans excited. But ultimately, you know, when you win, you draw. And I think for the Blue Jays, that's what it's going to come down to. That's really the litmus test for the current regime.
Well, it will be a tough offseason unless they get a bigger name as far as perception goes. But you're right. It's more about the steak than the sizzle at the end of the day. Shai, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you taking the time. Keep up the great work and happy holidays.
Yeah, my pleasure. Have a great holidays and all the best in 2020.